بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still pondering on the beautiful verses of Surah Al-Takwir, chapter number 81. And we've stopped at ayah number 8. Allah the Almighty is describing to us the events that will take place on the Day of Judgment, or some of them. Allah says, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. And when the female infant buried alive shall be questioned for what sin she was killed. Now, this was a practice that some of the Arabs, some of the idol worshippers used to do before Islam. There are a number of scenarios. The most famous was that they used to kill their boys and girls. So the word al-maw'uda, the one who was killed, it can refer to the infant, but specifically to the female. This does not mean that males were not killed. Even boys were killed. And there were two reasons that were usually driving the father to kill his children. The first reason was the fear of poverty. It was difficult times. And when the child, the girl, grew up, or the boy, even before growing up, even when they were just born, they would dig a hole and throw it in and bury the child alive. So this was due to poverty. And Allah Azza wa Jal said in two places in the Quran that do not kill your children. We provide for them and you, we provide for you and them. Don't kill your children. And specifically, don't kill your children out of fear of poverty. And it's very awkward how people would do such a horrible thing, such an inhumane thing. Who provides for you? The issue of rizq, the issue of provision, had always haunted people, because this is what they mainly think of. How much is my salary? Do I have a job or not? How am I going to live? How am I going to send my kids to school? What would happen to me and to my family if I was crippled, if I had an injury and could not find a job or continue in my job? What would happen if they kicked me out? And all of these thoughts indicate one thing and one thing alone: lack of trust and dependence on Allah Azza wa Jal. If you trusted Him, if you relied on Him, if you depended entirely on Allah Azza wa Jal, He would send you provisions to your footsteps. He would send you provisions, providing that you work, that you strive, that you do something. Allah says, the Almighty, if you depend on Allah entirely, and as you're supposed to do, Allah would provide for you like He provides for the birds. They go in the beginning of the day with empty stomachs, and they return to their nests at the end of the day with full stomachs. What school did they go to? What experience do they have? It is Allah that provides for them, and He provides for you. All what you need to do is to believe and to work. Allah did not say that the birds would stay in their nests and the food would come to it. It never rains gold. You have to work in order for you to buy and to obtain this gold. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that this infant killed without any justification. It was killed either for its fear of the family, of the parents, that it would become a burden and they would not be able to support and poverty would come. And this is wrong. We know that the more children you have, the more rizq and provision Allah would give you. And if you go to management schools and if you do the math, they will tell you, no, this is not possible. To feed one mouth, is not like feeding two. And the more you have, the lesser your provisions are. Yeah, well, this is correct if you are doing it on paper. But when you believe in Allah, the provider, this is totally incorrect. The more you have children, the more rizq Allah Azza wa Jal would give you, because rizq comes with them. The second reason that disbelievers used to kill their children for, specifically the girls, because the fear of shame. Because they, before Islam, had so much jealousy in them. They were so sensitive to their honor, to their pride, they say, which is easily tarnished by their female offspring. Yes, the male offspring could bring shame and could dishonor their pride, but not as much as the female. And that is why they say that if a glass is broken, it can never be mended. And likewise with females, with a girl. If she makes a mistake, it's not like when a boy does a mistake. At the sight of Allah, they're both sinful. And it's the same mistake. And they'll all go to hell to be punished for that. But in this life, a boy could repent and no harm is done. No one can say that, oh, this guy fornicated in the past. He did this or he did that. With a girl, it's different. Her virginity is on the line. Allah the Almighty forgives those who repent. Unfortunately, people don't. So men in pre-Islam era had this sensitivity towards their honor. And they did not want their name and honor to be tarnished or disgraced. So Shaytan, the devil, gave them this evil idea. Kill the female when she's young. And you don't have to worry about the burden of her going out, fooling around, and coming with an illegitimate child or so. This is how they were so proud. Though it was to the far extreme, because this is inhumane. This is not natural to kill for nothing. She didn't do anything wrong. You're speculating. You are thinking that she would do this, but she didn't. Yet still you killed her? What a major sin that is. Compare this to the extreme left that we have today. Today, a lot of the people don't have any honor. They don't have any fear of shame in them. Unfortunately, even some of the Muslims, you look at their kids. The boys are always out, nightclubs, hanging out with the boys, fornicating, having girlfriends, and they think they will grow tomorrow, they will mature. It's just a phase. It's only 15 years they've been doing this. It's just a phase. What are you talking about? All these sins compiled in these years, and you're supporting it, and you're providing, and you're giving the money for it, and you claim to be a real practicing Muslim, what kind of Islam are you practicing? And if you look at their girls, you will be shocked. It is a tragedy by Allah. They sit with their girls, they laugh, they have good meals, and then the girl says, okay, Dad, tonight I'm not gonna come back. I'm gonna spend the night out. I'm going with John to a casino and we're spending the weekend there. I said, okay, honey, take care of yourself. Honey, who's she going with? Ah, he's her boyfriend. They work together in the company. And you allow this? Yeah, well, what can we do? Youngsters, youth, it's a phase. SubhanAllah, don't you have any shame in your face? Don't you have any pride, any dignity, any honor? So yeah, it's normal. The guy comes and has dinner with us. He's part of the family. Is he married to your daughter? No, no. He's not even a Muslim. as if it would have made it easier. But he's a kafir, he's a disbeliever. Yet he goes out with the girl and they have a long relationship. They broke up and she's hooked with another guy. Subhanallah, they have no shame. So extreme right and extreme left. Islam is not like this. Islam honors a female and tells the father to be kind to his girl. And if you have two girls, they will be your passport to paradise if you bring them up well, educate them, make them practice Islam well, and give them in marriage to a righteous and God-fearing man. They're your passport to paradise. Islam tells you to take care of your sister, to obey your mother. Islam is the best religion when it comes to a man dealing with his female relatives, whether a daughter, a sister, a wife, or a mother. We have a short break, so stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So, ayah number 8 and 9. And when the female infant buried alive, she will be questioned for what sin she was killed. There is something in one or two of the Arab countries called honor killing. And this is quite famous in some tribes, especially in Jordan and elsewhere. And this honor killing has nothing to do with honor. It is when the family suspects that the daughter is in a relationship with another man, whether they suspect or they know for sure. So they avenge their honor by murdering that daughter. And whoever contributes in such a sin is in hell. And the killer has to be executed in Islam, because this is unacceptable. There's no justification for the crime of the girl. Fornicating for that girl is totally prohibited in Islam. Premarital relationship is totally forbidden in Islam. The father is not allowed to kill his daughter. The brother is definitely not allowed to kill his daughter. There is law. Islam says that you have to follow the law. You cannot take law into your own hand. These things are crimes that's called honor killing. It has nothing to relate to Islam and it's totally prohibited by Islam. Now Allah tells us that this female infant that was buried will be questioned for what sin she was killed. And the logical thing would be, why was she questioned? She is the victim. So why is the victim being questioned and the perpetrator is not? Scholars say that this would happen on the Day of Judgment while the killer is watching. So it would be scolding the killer, not interrogating the victim. This infant that was killed will be in paradise. The killer, Allah knows what would happen to him, but he will be scolded. Why did you kill such an innocent soul? Why was it that you buried this infant in an inhumane way while it is alive? It was reported in some stories that Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, cried once. And he told the Prophet ﷺ how he had a girl, and when she was about 7 or 8 years of age, he ordered her mother to dress her up so that he would take her to her uncle's. And on the way, he dug a hole for that girl to bury her. And she used to clean his beard from the soil and the sand that came to it. And he buried her alive. This is not a true story. This is not a true story because, first of all, Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, could not do such an evil thing. Secondly, we know that Umar had Hafsa, Umm al-Mu'mineen, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. And she was a girl. So he did not kill any of his daughters because he had daughters, may Allah be pleased with him. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in verse 10, وَإِذَا الصُّحُفُ نُشِرَتْ. And when the written pages of deeds, that is good or bad, of every person shall be laid upon. shall be published, shall be exposed, shall be shown. And this happens on the Day of Judgment. Everything is in writing. Each one of us has a book of records of every single thing he had done. Some of us would receive their books by their right hand. This means that they have passed. Others would receive their books with their left, and then they would receive it from the back as their arms would be twisted behind their backs. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that on that day, everyone would see what he had done. It would be in black and white. You cannot deny. You cannot say, I didn't do. Allah Azza wa Jalla will provide you with the evidences to prove to you and to everyone else what crimes you had done. And Allah says, the Almighty, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. And when the heavens shall be stripped off and taken away from its place. So, again, this would happen to the heavens. We know that it would crack. It would be split asunder. It would be made into gates. It would be peeled off as you peel off a skin of an apple or whatever. So all of this would happen on the Day of Judgment. وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِّرَتْ. Ayah number 12, Allah says, and when hellfire shall be kindled to fierce ablaze. And we know that fire exists. We know that hell is here and it has been created. Where is it? We have no idea. We know that paradise is at the seventh heaven below the throne of Allah the Almighty. So it is in the highest level possible. However, when it comes to hell, there are narrations, there are opinions of scholars that it is in the middle of the earth and in the lowest part of it. However, there is nothing authentic to prove this. So we believe that it exists at the moment, as does paradise. They're all have been created and they're ready. And we know that hellfire is 70 times greater than the fire of this dunya. And one would argue, what is the hottest temperature that we could reach in this dunya? 2,000, 3,000 centigrades? Allah knows. But we know that the heat of the sun is considered to be part of the heat of this dunya. So if you imagine that the hellfire is 70 times hotter than the sun, and by Allah, the sun itself would have sufficed. By Allah, a match would have sufficed. If you light a match and put your finger on the fire and count till 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You could not last for 2. This is the fire of the dunya. Yet the Prophet tells us it is 70 times more. And if we're talking about 2000 degrees, if we're talking about the sun's heat, you could only imagine how hot it is. On the Day of Judgment, it would increase in its heat. And it would be this fierce blaze and inferno. And the heat is unbelievable. And what is it doing this for? It's waiting for its inhabitants. Those who disbelieved, those who sinned, those who did not pay any attention to the Day of Reckoning. And on the other hand, Allah says, وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ. And when paradise shall be brought near. Wow. You do not go to paradise. It comes to you. Look at the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is bringing the paradise forward, close to you. instead of you walking all the way, it's like going to Heathrow Airport. Once you land, you walk and walk and walk and walk until you reach the customs. Wow, my knees are all weary and tired. In paradise, you don't struggle anymore. You don't do anything. Everything comes to you. What happens after all of these things take place? After all these things take place, the 12 things we've mentioned, Allah the Almighty says, عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Every person will know what he has brought of good and evil. La ilaha illallah. Then this is the time, payback time. If you do good, if you do well, well, paradise is there close to you to see. Only few moments and you'll be admitted with the grace of Allah. But if you did bad, if you did evil, if you disbelieved, if you thought that there's no God, there's no hereafter, if you thought that there are others to be worshipped with Allah the Almighty, if you thought that your evil acts would go unquestioned, think again. Allah says, every person will know what he has brought of good and evil. And this description of the events that will take place takes your heart out of its place. And why is that? Because it's so horrific that you cannot imagine, but you believe in that it will happen. From these verses, we know that Allah Azza wa Jal is emphasizing the aqidah of resurrection, day of judgment, and accountability. And we also realize that Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that these are the events that will take place on the day of judgment. And that is why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever wants to look and understand the day of judgment, he should recite this surah, Surah Al-Takwir and Surah Al-Inshiqaq, which we will come to discuss insha'Allah. And from the portion we have pondered upon, we can see that Allah is encouraging us to believe and to do righteous deeds, because this would take us to paradise with His grace. And finally, Allah is warning us not to do sin and not to associate others with Him, because this would take us to hell. This is all the time we have until we meet next time. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.